Welcome to this week's episode of Fat, Drunk, and Stupid. I'm Rob with you as always, back with my good buddy, Mr. Brad Barley. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
We're back in the old dank bowels.
The moist bowels.
Ooh, the moist bowels of the dank Branch Barlidian compound here in the classified location somewhere in the Midwest.
I'm working on my beard. I've got the receding hairline. I just need a little more curl in my hair.
You got it going on.
I'm working on my image.
I'm not really working on my beard. I just haven't shaved in like a week. Week and a half.
A week, man.
Week and a half.
You are an aggressive beard grower.
I really am, because when I was in the Army, then in police work, I had to shave all the time. And when I got out, I'm like, you know, I'm going to do the beard thing. And it didn't take long. I mean, it grew fast. I was like, wow. Of course, I think the hair on my head migrated.
Yeah.
I think it migrates.
Yeah, I don't get that, because we are both of an age, and I don't understand why our hair...
40 and moist, brother.
Brother. Moist for life. I don't get why our hair is like in a constant tactical withdrawal to our back and neck and nether regions.
The back, the ears.
The ears, I don't get that.
See, what I do, I quit paying for haircuts, and I just buzz it off every, like, 2 weeks, right?
Okay, fair enough.
Because, you know, I used to go, and then I just was like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. And so I just started, I went and bought, like, a nice, pretty nice set of clippers, and I just buzz it off, like, every 2 weeks or so. And the back hair thing, I never even thought about. And then at some point, I realized that I had back hair. And I'm like, what the hell is this? So it does happen. And it's, yeah, you got to trim the ears. Like because if you look, like if you have to, at a certain light, you have to look and see the hairs on the edge of your ear. Or your wife will grab it and she'll snatch it while you're driving down the road.
Oh, well, I'm so tall. She can't see up to mine.
Mine will get me while I'm driving.
Ooh, that's not a good choice.
And I just feel like a pee. Like my leg got shorter. You pull the string. But what have you been up to since we've convened?
Gosh, dude. NFL started. It's all my free time.
Dismal.
It is dismal.
For Chiefs are dismal.
Gosh, I'm still, dude. Okay, so this is what I learned. So
my condolences to you and the kingdom.
I've really been working on my drinking. I've really just cut back a bunch.
Oh, I think you're working on like drinking routinely.
No. Well, I'm working on reduction. We're reduced. We're running. We're trying to be healthy. Man, watching the Chiefs, that's a recipe for returning to alcoholism. It's rough.
See, that's why I emotionally divorced myself from football years ago.
Yeah, you're smart. I'm not. I can't help it.
I got a good friend of mine who I worked with in my former company who now works with at my current company, and he's a big Chiefs fan. And he's just, you know, I messaged him this morning, and I was like, what's up? And he's like... He just goes, the Chiefs. I'm like, that's what you picked? Like, out of everything that could have, you know. But, yeah, you know, we haven't talked a lot of football. But I will say this, and people, a lot of Chiefs fans get mad when I would say this, that like it. But I would say, you know, the Mahomes thing, the behind-the-back passes and stuff, that ain't going to get him so far. Yeah. Oh, no. I said, all right, man, whatever.
So I was actually thinking about this. So, like, the Chiefs, they line up. This is typical play. Mm-hmm. We get a tutorial on how to square dance. We get that pre-snap.
Yeah.
And then Mahomes has to show off, usually. You know, he's kind of a b-boy. You know, we got to get kind of a move there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like a 3-yard gain. And then when we go to defense, it's like, 20 yards per play.
I mean, he's obviously very talented. But I think a lot of times in NFL, you have players like him who have always gotten by just on pure athleticism. But then that kind of starts to run out a little bit.
Right.
It's like, I always think about Michael Vick. Not the dog fighting, but the football part.
Slight difference.
Because seeing him, I saw him. He went to Virginia Tech, and I lived in Virginia. Mm-hmm. I'm from Virginia. Mm-hmm. I saw him play live. When you saw him on the field, it was like, you know, when you played the old Madden games.
Oh yeah,
it was like that. It was just like he could just whatever he wanted to. He could outrun anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter who they were, what position. he could just turn it on and go. And you're like, man, that guy is something else. In the NFL, he did that for a while. But then people started figuring it out. Yeah. And they're like, well, we're going to find ways to stop him, you know? Yeah. And, you know, obviously this game, the Chiefs game Sunday, the weather was bad.
Yeah. It didn't, I don't think it would have mattered. It could have been 70 degrees, no wind. That was still a...
And the Bills are a good team.
Oh yeah,
Buffalo's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, people overlooked them, but they're good.
Josh Allen's good. I mean, if anybody was overlooking them, it was Chiefs fans. But that's our own fault. But no, Bills are good. I would be perfectly fine with watching the Bills in the Super Bowl.
I think the Chiefs fans have been a little spoiled the past couple of years, probably.
Yeah, and that was part of like last night, and that's what I was getting into. Like, It seems like I've been really good about not drinking until mm-hmm. the Chiefs are playing, and then it's like. Well, I got to drown my sorrows. So yesterday afternoon, we had a weenie roast, with my folks, and it was Tank Sevens and Nathan's.
Stuff.
Yeah, Nathan's hot dogs.
Yeah,
dude. Between that and the loss, it was a fart fest. I mean, it was like constant foghorn. I mean, I seriously like 1:30. I checked my watch. 1:30 to 2:15 or something. It was a fart fest, so I was awake half the night. So
there you go.
So I'm gonna work on that, remove myself emotionally, and just watch wrestling and watch Netflix, and just try to distance myself from getting too emotionally wrapped up in a stupid game with the football.
I think most football fans, they get the hell is that?
It's a moth.
Oh my god. Are you Buffalo Bill?
Sorry.
Raising moths down here. Hard for me.
Was just a big fat lady.
Take it back. You don't need it. Give it back.
It's getting the back there. Well, okay, quick aside. Quick silence of the lame side. Because we're helping a buddy of mine paint some rentals of his a few years ago. Mm. And we had it on like New Wave or something on Sirius or something. And that song from Silence of the Lambs comes on. And this guy, he doesn't. I mean, I don't really. Anyways, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And as soon as that song came on, I was like.
He tucked his wiener between his legs.
No, but I did a minimal tuck. I didn't show anything, but I did a tuck and I was like. Hey, Jason, what you do me?
He's like, what are you talking about?
No, he instantly, as soon as that song got on, he instantly knew.
You simulated a mangina.
Oh, man.
I remember watching the movie when I was like 12. Oh. And then I, as an adult, I started thinking, I was like, man, that's a fuck that movie to watch if you're a kid.
Jesus. And Dwight Yoakam was great in that.
Was he in that?
No, he just kind of that hair, that receding hairline, that hair.
Of I was Buffalo thinking, I was Bill. Like, wait a minute, no.
We got a connection there.
He was
Bills,
in
Buffalo Bills,
Sling Blade. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got a new mower blade on Saturday.
There you go.
And I walked in carrying my Kaiser blade.
The Kaiser blade.
Some people call it Sling Blade. I called the Kaiser blade and got some mustard on my taters.
Two fellas on the bridge going to the bathroom. One fella said the water's cold. Other says the water's deep. Mm-hmm. One of them fellas from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. If you have not seen Sling Blade.
Spoilers. Go see it. The Titanic sinks at the end, by the way.
Dwight Yoakam, great. I love his instrumental in that.
And then we pause like poetry and do dot, 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 dot. When I was in the Army, my buddy Jeremy Stearns, he loved that movie. We would go to his house and get just hammered and watch it.
Oh, yeah.
And he would just scream out, we don't need to fucking practice, Randy. He would just do it like random times.
Well, my dad, you gotta understand, I think you'd love my dad if you met him. But he does the Sling Blade impersonation. So that's for years now, his we call him Sling Blade or Earl or whatever that guy's name was.
Carl.
So... Yeah, my dad's Carl, and oh boy. That, and he's got a rap name.
Who?
My dad.
He's got a rap name?
Yeah. Big Papa Palsy.
Can we have your dad on as a guest?
That would be amazing, and we could not publish it.
No, we're going to publish it.
Because
this is underground podcasting. This is pirate podcasting.
He, like, gets to doing it. He, like, does his rap, like, in his hands, and it looks like he's in the middle of, like, he's having a seizure.
I like that.
Yeah. So Big Papa Palsy.
There you go. I like that.
I might adopt that.
What if I know we were talking about, you said you watched Squid Game. Oh, I have not watched Squid Game. I wasn't aware of that.
I'm only a couple episodes in.
What is it, a show or is it like a game show?
Netflix. It's a Netflix series. I think it was made in South Korea.
Uh-huh.
So it's a subtitled or dubbed, however you want. And these people with massive debts get pulled into this deadly game.
Is it an actual show? Is it like a fiction?
Yeah, it's a it's a produced.
Oh,
series.
Okay, I got
yeah,
you. Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
I could, you know, I don't really watch Netflix at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned it to me, and then I saw it somewhere.
It's just because mainly just because it's like it's on Twitter. It's like, you know, socials. It's like what people are talking about. So.
I'm not on Twitter.
I know, because you have made a good choice.
I'm awesome. That's why. No, I was going to watch, there's a show on Netflix called Midnight Mass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That I'm going to watch, because it's made by a guy named Mike Flanagan.
Mm-hmm.
And he did two shows last year. They're like horror shows.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of them.
It was A House on Haunted Hill.
Or Haunting House. Or
Haunting.
God, weird.
And there was the other one.
We're
so
not
there
good
was...
at this. Bly Manor.
So. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He also did Gerald's Game, which was a Stephen King adaptation.
Oh, okay. So I read that book on the way to the 1993 Boy Scout Jamboree.
Yeah.
And my mom took me to Sam's and she got me a bag of candy.
Yeah.
And she's like, here, pick out a book. And I bought Gerald's Game.
Nice.
That is not an appropriate book for like a 13-year-old.
Probably not. No. Stephen King books are great, though. I read... I've read a bunch of Stephen King books. I also like a lot of his short stories, too.
Oh, Nightmares and Dreamscapes.
Nightmares and Dreamscapes is great. Everything's Eventual is another good one.
Oh, I haven't read that one.
Everything's Eventual, I think, is the one that has Shawshank in it. And
okay.
Which is called Rita Hayworth in the Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
In the story. But of course, the movie is the Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a Stephen King story. Also... there's another one. You read that movie called Apt Pupil? It was like the old Nazi guy. So that's a Stephen King story that's in there. And there's a couple other ones in that are really good too.
Did you get into any of the Dark Tower?
Yes, I started reading that a while back, probably about 10 years ago. I think I read four books.
I think I'm like mid second or third, because I'd read Insomnia.
Yeah.
And then I read another book, and I was connected. And then at that point, I was like, okay, I need to check it out.
I've read four of the books, and I have no clue what's happening. I need to get back into it. I think I have however many were out at that moment. I think it was like seven or eight by then.
Yeah.
I think seven or eight of them. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to read all these. And I read four. Like, the first book is, you know... I'm like, this is cool. It's like this weird, like, Lord of the Rings / like Western kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you get the next books, you get like time travel, and there's this like robot polar bear thing. And I'm like, what the? This dude had to be blowing out on coke when he wrote this.
Well, did you hear about when he wrote, what was the one with, Mark Wahlberg, where he was special. He was, quote, special.
Mark Wahlberg.
Dwight
Yoakam, you mean?
Donnie Wahlberg?
Donnie Wahlberg.
It was the one with the alien. Oh, my gosh. This is terrible radio.
This is awful.
Anyways, it'll come to me later.
You know, Dad, you should drink more. Anyway, Stephen King's great.
Yeah.
And I like, especially this time of year when the Halloween season is upon us, I like to read and watch spooky stuff. So I was trying to get my wife, I showed her the trailer for Midnight Mass, and she's just like, what is this?
Did she watch the other ones?
No.
Oh, yeah.
She's not really into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, mine's not either.
It depends, you know, what it is. But I saw Netflix has some cool, they have like Fear Street, there's a couple of those. It's like,
yeah, I watched the first one of that.
Did you like that?
Yeah, it was interesting.
And so I kind of like that kind of stuff. I like a lot of the 80s
So
Bad It's Good horror movies, like Night of the Demons and Fright Night and those things like that are always good.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight Mass, I'm looking forward to that. And we started watching Succession on HBO.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You told me about that.
It's really good.
So what's, give me like the elevator pitch on that.
So it's about a family, and the father owns this multi-billion dollar global media company. It's like one of the biggest media companies in the world. And he's going to be retiring. And he has three sons and a daughter. And so one of the sons is the oldest. And he lives like on a ranch in like New Mexico. And he's kind of like, kind of weird, you know. And then his next son wants to take over, wants to be the next. But he's had like some like drug issues and stuff like that. His other son is Kieran Culkin, Macaulay Culkin's brothers. Yep. And he's like just, he's hilarious. But he's, you know, not super serious all the time. And now he wants people to kind of take him seriously. Yeah. And he's kind of like whatever. And so it's really like this just like super dysfunctional family with a backdrop of this multi-billion dollar company.
Hmm.
And all the kids like want, and they screw each other over all the time. There's other people who want to take over the company and stuff. It's really good. There's two seasons out, and then the third season starts, I think, on the 17th.
And did you watch the first two seasons?
The first season we've watched, and we started the second season. So we're like third episode into the second season.
Okay.
So it's like a dark comedy, I guess, to describe it. It was written by Adam McKay, who did a bunch of...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Will Ferrell produced it.
That'd be totally up my alley because I love both those guys.
It's good. I would highly recommend it because it's drama, but it's not like wet blanket kind of dragon. Like to me, there's two ways I rate a good show. When I'm not watching it, do I think about watching it? And when I watch the episodes, do they blow by?
Oh yeah,
and this does. Yeah. Like it's just like it feels like it's just gone. Like some shows you watch and it just drags on and on and on. You know. But this one's not like that.
So what's the show for you that just dragged on and on?
Those Netflix Marvel shows.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Daredevil, I liked when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of just got to the point where it's just nothing happening at any moment. And then it's just like, man, is this episode still going?
Yeah.
And I watched like Jessica Jones. The first season of Jessica Jones was fantastic.
Mm.
Did you watch that?
No. That's the only one
it was
I
was really, really
watched.
Good. Also, David Tennant was in it. As Kilgrave. And he's brilliant, of course. Then they did Jessica Jones season two, and it was terrible.
Mm.
Awful. I don't know what the thinking was on that. Man, it was terrible. And I don't know. It's just some shows are like that where you think, man, this is going to be really good. But then it just kind of drags on and on, and just couldn't really get into it. You know, couldn't really get into it at that point, which I hated because I already seen like Daredevil had three seasons, I think.
You're like, if you're invested in it, you do want to finish it out.
Let's see, what else did that? Probably like I would watch Arrow, and then it got to the point where those were just plus the network shows. It's like 25 episodes in a season.
Yeah, we're on the sixth or seventh season of, I think we're on the sixth season of The Flash.
Oh, yeah.
And we just finished the Crisis on Infinite Earths. Yeah. Did you watch any of that?
I watched some of it. I thought it was cool.
It's neat, but it was like, okay, well, if you want to have the whole story, you're watching like between
four shows,
and you're going to watch like the two episodes before, and then you got to watch the two episodes because it essentially ends Arrow.
Yeah, it does.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Arrow, the first couple of seasons was really good. Then they had like one season where it was really threw people off. Oh. But then they kind of brought it back around. Okay. You know, Flash, I didn't finish The Flash. It just kind of got like every episode. He's like, I can't do it. And they're like, you can do it, Barry. Run. He's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, what do I do? I run faster? Oh, mission.
So stupid.
Officer Doofy. Officer Flash, showing for duty.
That's just kind of what it was every time. Yeah. He's like, I don't, you know, I like that they brought some of that stuff to life. I like that a lot of these other characters you don't normally get to see, you know, get to be on TV. But that's a lot of shows to watch to keep up with all the storylines. We had started watching Arrow, and then when Flash came out, we caught up, and then at one point, I think you had to, if you wanted to, because they kind of commingled for a while, so you had to watch one before the other to kind of make sense. But I guess if you didn't care about the other show, you didn't have to. But
I mean, from watching it, like, we really just stuck with The Flash. We would watch those other, when there was crossovers, we would watch those episodes. But at the end, they're like, well, I don't really like want to go back and watch.
Also tried to watch Mad Men one time.
See, that's one I like wish I could get into. I think I started it, and it was like I was two episodes in. And I'm like, I mean, this is cool, but it's like,
man, this is a haul. Am I gonna, you know? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those shows where I think more people probably say, "Oh, I love that show," than have actually watched it or watched the whole thing. But you know. I don't know. I might come back to it at some point and get back into it. I don't know. I just couldn't really get into it at the time. It was a while back, though, but, you know.
Yeah.
But, no, Succession's good. I like shows that you can just watch and kind of get. Like, some shows are very superficial, very surface level. And some shows are a little more deeper, you know, have some depth. So I kind of like that. I like a show that you can kind of get into and watch. Killing Eve, it's also a good show.
I don't think I've heard of that
one. I don't know what channel that was on. Or is on. But anyway, it's good. It's about a female, like, assassin, and then this chick.
It's not by Bill O'Reilly, is it?
Female assassin.
Killing Eve.
Killing Eve.
Killing Adeline.
Killing Lincoln. The war on Christmas. No, it's,
Oh, okay, real quick aside. If you could set siege to a holiday and kill it, which holiday would you pick?
Oh, God. Probably Valentine's Day. Would you kill Christmas, Brad?
Honestly, yeah, I would. God. I mean, I want to celebrate Jesus' birth as much as the next guy. But
happy birthday, Jesus. Sorry your party's so lame.
I mean, that's literally the most depressed I get year-round is around Christmas.
Why do you get depressed at Christmas?
Because it's just the stress of just all the We're outside of what the goal of Christmas is, and it's the spending money and going to parties and being busy. And
what's wrong with going to parties? I like parties.
I like parties. I my name's Brad. I too like to party.
I like parties and stuff.
I don't know. I'm really weird about Christmas.
No, I get it. I don't like it. It's so commercialized.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, what I like about Christmas is the. I like the kind of the atmosphere. I like when it gets colder outside.
Yeah.
I like the Christmas movies.
Yeah, for sure.
I like to sit with the Christmas tree on at night with an old fashioned. And just have a little, like some Dean Martin or some Sinatra.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Or some Perry Como playing. I like that. It sounds corny, but I like that.
No, I
that's
love
very
it.
Like.
Oh, man, White Christmas? Yeah.
That's very comfort food for
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, like. Charlie Brown's Christmas and The Grinch and, you know, Christmas Vacation and all that kind of stuff. Those things are all very, because, you know, the commercial, like, my wife and I, we don't really, especially once Arabella came along, we're like, all right, we're just going to kind of focus on her Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then for us, we'll, you know, something that we both like or something, maybe we'll get it or whatever and say, okay, that's Christmas or something, you know?
And I think that's what gets me because I love that we can, you know, do a little something extra for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love the atmosphere, but then it's like this faux Christmas spirit wherever you go. And I don't know, again, I'm like kind of bitter towards the holidays. Like
I know. And then you go to like a store and everybody's so, oh, the employees are so stressed because they've been working like 90 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I get that. I've always enjoyed it. I've always liked it. One thing is I've always had to work during Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So since getting out of police work, thankfully, I haven't had to work any Christmases anymore.
Yeah.
So I try to enjoy them a lot more. And especially with having a young chap running around. You know, when I make sure she gets the most out of it. So I get a lot of joy from watching her. We have this little night light. It's called a Santa Cam. It really is just a light. It plugs in, but it's got like a little, like square little frame on it. And there's like a blue light around it. And so it's a Santa cam.
But
we don't do like the weird, insecure, like Santa can see you thing.
Yeah.
What we tell her is if, you know, because she'll see something she likes or she'll think, and I'll say, well, hey, why don't you go run it by Santa and let him know? And she'll go up there and say, Santa, excuse me, I want the Peppa Pig camper and I want a blue dress. Thank you. You know, that kind of stuff.
It's That's cute.
It's cute. You know, mm-hmm. but seeing her, you know, being into and excited, you know, there's a cool picture when I got the Christmas tree out last year. I put it together. There's no lights on or anything. I put it together and she's standing there like this, like with her hands on her face, with her mouth open because she's awesome. So excited, mm-hmm. you know. So that kind of stuff for me is cool.
Yeah.
And it kind of washes out the other stuff. Yeah. A lot of people get depressed during the holidays for various reasons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm the same reason. I think last year was better. But yeah, usually that's when my depression like really kicks in during the holidays.
Well, if you get really depressed, let me know. We can drink and be depressed together if you'd like.
Good. I'm down with
two things I'm really good at. Drinking and depression.
Down spades.
Something that is not, well, couldn't be depressing. I've been waiting to tell you about the WWE hijinks in the past month.
Oh, jeez.
Switching to wrestling, as we enjoy wrestling. So, last time we recorded, I think it was September, it was like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Monday. But it felt like a Tuesday. And we recorded, and I went home. And a lot of times I'll hop on YouTube and just see if anything happened on Raw that was significant. Usually I look and see what Bobby Lashley is doing.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like the best thing on there. He's like the best thing on there, you know. So they had... let me try to lay this out, and I want to get your reaction because I think it's going to be funny.
Okay.
Okay. On the previous Raw... they spent the entire 3-hour show doing a tag team tournament. And the winner would face the tag team champions on Raw, which is RK-Bro. Randy Orton and Riddle, which is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But that was the previous Raw, which I didn't watch that. I just kind of read about it. I skimmed it. So on the next Raw, which was a month ago, they were going to have Lashley and MVP won the tag team thing. They were going to face Orton and Riddle. And, of course, also a couple weeks later, which I think was last weekend, was Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
Now, did Bobby still have the title at that point?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So, Randy and Bobby Lashley were supposed to have a world title match at the pay-per-view.
Hmm.
Just a couple days, like 2 days, a day or two before this Raw that happened the last time we recorded, they said... the world title match that was going to be happening at Extreme Rules will now happen on Monday Night Raw. So they bumped it up like a couple weeks.
Oh, wow.
Right? And it's going to be Orton and Lashley. Also, on that same Monday, on that same day, I guess. So I saw Raw, saw what happened, and then I went back and was reading about, like, okay, what happened? Big E composes a tweet, and he says, just let everybody know I'm cashing in my Money in the Bank tonight.
Mm.
Now... basically, this also coincided with AEW winning the 18-49 demo the week prior.
Oh, wow.
So, this obviously is a knee-jerk reaction from WWE to try to get a score, a big number. You know, they're basically just begging people, please watch this show, right? So, the show, I watched the opening segment, which actually was pretty good. It was MVP and Lashley, they come out. And they look like $1 million. They got the suits on, the sunglasses. Oh, yeah. You know, they just look cool. Like badasses. Orton and Riddle come out. Orton always looks cool. Riddle's like a goof. He's on his scooter. You know, it's just, you know, Randy looks like the, you know, really bothered older brother, like taking his kid brother to the arcade or something.
That's such an apt comparison.
And then Big E comes out and he's like, you know, booty shaking and sticking his tongue out. I'm like, God, this guy's such a fucking moron. You know, I know you're way bigger on New Day than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just tired of that at this point.
It's getting old. I mean, I'll buy into this. It's getting old.
Can you hand me one, please?
Yes. Yeah, sure.
It's getting old because with Big E, if he's going to be a singles competitor, I think he should be more serious. Be presenting more seriously, right?
Oh, for sure.
But so anyway, they have a really cool opening segment. It was really nice, actually, because those guys are probably the best on the whole show at that point. And so at the end of the show, they have the match, Randy versus Lashley. And it's a good match because you've got two guys who are veterans. They know what to do in the ring. Randy goes outside, hits MVP with RKO, gets back in the ring, gets speared, and gets pinned. Mm. So Lashley retains. They go to the outside. Lashley wants to put Orton through the table. So he puts him through the table, the announce table. And then Lashley comes up limping. So then you think, okay, this is like the repeat of every Money in the Bank they've ever had.
Yeah.
Which is silly. So then Big E's music comes out. His music comes on. He comes out. He wants to cash in the briefcase. And I don't know why they do this every time. Like, the ref argues with them. There's always this long exchange.
Are you sure you want to do it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So Lashley is pointing at his leg, saying, my knee is hurt. And Big E's like, no. And, I want to cash in. And then Big E slaps Lashley, slaps him right across the face. And they had the camera kind of pulled in kind of tight. And you see Lashley say, he looks at the ref, he goes, ring the fucking bell. Like, you could see it and hear it clear as bell. So they have a 5-minute exchange. Big E hits him with the finish and pins him, new champion. Mm-hmm. So the previous Raw, the whole tag team setup was scrapped completely. So if you spent 3 hours watching that, there was never a tag team title match. They just scrapped it. The title match, because they had two title matches for Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Roman and Demon Balor, which we'll talk about in a second.
Okay.
And then these two, they just bumped that to Raw just to try to move a number. And the result was, it was their, I think, lowest show since July. Also, it was the first night of Monday Night Football.
Yeah, but that's history. I just think that's
nobody. The problem is that you take a guy like Big E, who's, kind of poised for a singles run. And it's, in my opinion, it doesn't make any sense for the good guy to come out and beat the hurt bad guy.
Yeah.
And I know that in the WWE, there's not a lot of logic, storytelling, and narrative. But you would never see that. You would never see Dusty Rhodes come out and beat Ric Flair after he's had a match and his knee is hurt. That would never happen.
If anything, it would be where come out and then the heel would do, he would have someone else, like Arn Anderson or someone would come out, would come out.
Yeah, I mean.
And bust him up and then, okay, well, he just wasted. It wasn't really that he wasted. It was like he tried to, I don't know. You could do it better, yeah.
It's silly. It's a shame because Big E has been there for a long time. And I thought back to, because I'm like, where have I seen this before? That's right. They did the same thing, if you remember, when Ziggler cashed in on Del Rio.
Yeah.
Big E was with him at the time.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Del Rio was heel, and he had a match, and he was hurt. He was laying in the corner. And then Ziggler's music comes on, him and AJ Lee and Big E. It was 10 years ago.
Yes.
And then he comes out, and they have exchange. He hits him with a finisher, and it's over. It's a pin. But it just, the Money in the Bank thing, I understand the gimmick of it is they can cash in at any time or whatever. But they obviously, they telegraphed it throughout the whole day, basically saying, please watch this show.
Yeah.
And it's called hot-shotting, for people that don't know. It's like, back in the territory days, people would do what's called hot-shotting, where they would load up one show and do a bunch of title changes and a bunch of stuff just to just to pop a number.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And just to get stir people. And the problem is it messes up. It doesn't help you long-term. Unless you're doing a big reset.
Right.
Which happens at pay-per-views a lot. They'll do a lot of title changes sometimes just to do a fresh reset. But for this, Big E, he's had some singles matches, but he hasn't had big wins. He hasn't had these big moments. But the internet likes him, of course.
Which I think you could sell that he's going to become kind of a competitor, like a singles guy. Like, but you kind of do it with the, quote, blessing of the New Day.
Yeah.
Like, you have something where the guys are like...
Like when Kofi won it.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets squashed by Brock Lesnar 26. That
was bull crap. But anyways, what I'm saying is, like, they have a thing where they're like, hey, we know... You don't break up the New Day. You don't have him turn heel. You just say, hey, we believe in you. This is your, you know, like Kofi's like, man, I had my chance. This is yours.
And that's kind of what they did, because they came out and celebrated with him.
Yeah.
But they weren't involved. Like, they didn't interfere with the match. Or,
and they shouldn't, because right. If you're a face, yeah, you don't need to be doing that.
And he doesn't have to turn heel. I just thought, one thing I was like, man, I just wish he wouldn't just doing the goofy stuff. You know, like he could still be funny.
Yeah.
Because he is funny. I mean,
yeah.
But just the over the top, like he was up on the table, like booty shaking and
yeah. I mean, I think at that point that's New Day. That's mm-hmm. not Biggie. Biggie mm-hmm. needs to be a beast. That's just he's yeah. a good guy that just wants a clean house. That's what it should be.
So, fast forward to Extreme Rules, which was a week ago, and here's what's funny about this is that you remember. WWE used to do like matches where people bled and stuff like that. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Unless it's an accident.
Quote, accident.
So Extreme Rules pay-per-view, there were no Extreme Rules matches. There except for one, which was Roman, the tribal chief that we acknowledge, and the demon, Demon, Screaming Demon.
Demon, is that the thing the Scientologists use? That's a theremin.
I don't even know what that is. I thought that was like a comb and a frying pan or something. I don't know. We'll get Tom Cruise on. We'll ask him. Show me the money. Show me the theremin. So
I think that's the thing where you move your hands and it's a. Anyways.
Oh. So anyway, I'll get through this. Cause
okay. Sorry.
More people will be falling asleep and shutting us off. So this is something that's so fucking stupid. So they know that. They have this. They have the crown jewel thing coming up in Saudi Arabia with the Saudi Arabia blood money, and it's Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. It's already advertised.
Oh gosh!
So everybody knows that Balor is not going to win this match.
Yeah.
Even though he's doing the demon thing, which should be protected, which should not be fucked with, which is actually a cool character.
I'm 110% behind that.
One good thing about the demon thing is that they never did anything supernatural with him. It's always like a very kind of organic thing.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, jeez.
Mr. Body, do I have news for you? They had this match, and I read about this, and I had to go back and watch it. Because I had to see for myself. So the match is pretty typical. There's some table breaks. There's some chair shots. They had the Usos get involved. And there's this long thing at the end where there's like 47 chair shots to the back to each other. It went on like way too long.
Yeah.
Toward the end of the match, everybody's laid out on the outside. Like everybody's dead.
That's a bloodbath.
Screaming Willie Demon is laying down flat out on the floor. And then... the lights go red, and every time, I wish we had this on video, see your face. Every time, I've been salivating, I've been waiting to tell you this. Every time the beat goes, which is, if you don't know, is part of his entrance music, heartbeat, he flops a little bit. The music is he's being resuscitated. He's getting...
I'm so mad.
He's getting resuscitated.
You know what's going through my head, right?
What?
The Godfather. Look at the did it, my boy.
Did it, my boy. I'm telling you. To the point where, you know, when his music starts, it's like that.
Yeah.
That happens, he rises from the floor. Like Jesus Christo himself. And his music starts playing, and the lights are red. And he jumps up, and he starts like punching Roman Reigns. He throws him in the ring, and he hits him with the
coup de grace.
No, he hits him with a drop kick or thing or whatever he does. I don't remember what happened actually. Roman's laid out. The lights are still red. The music's on. You have to go back and watch this. Okay. It's on YouTube. Yeah, yeah. If you have Peacock, it's on there, but it's on YouTube. He gets to the top. He extends his arms because he's going to do the coup de grace, the big stomp.
Mm-hmm.
And the top rope breaks, quote unquote. The demon crashes to the mat. The music just stops. The lights come back on. And here's this guy.
You know what I'm thinking?
What?
Do you remember the grapes lady?
Yes.
The lady crushing the
That's
grapes?
It. That's it. That's it. Yeah. He's laying there holding his leg as if he's injured himself. Here's this guy who has this alter ego of a demon who's resurrected by lights and a heartbeat noise. The rope breaks. By the way, he's like 110 pounds.
Yeah, soaking wet.
He gets up, tries to get up. He gets speared by Roman Reigns, gets pinned. 1, 2, 3. Over. So, they had to get away. They had to find a way out of this match.
Yeah.
Because they've taken the Saudi Arabia blood money to have Roman versus Brock Lesnar. But they had to pump it up and have the demon show up. Have Finn do the demon thing because that would generate more interest. Because he showed up on SmackDown like 2 weeks in a row. The first time he showed up, he just did a stare down. And then the Friday before the show, he appears like on the top turnbuckle and leaps off and takes out the bloodline. Because they had this... Roman had this match with against one of the Street Profits. I can't remember his name. Montez Ford. There was also a funny part in that match where Montez Ford goes to get on the table and the table just like collapses.
Oh.
It's just kind of funny. He just kind of stands there.
So like, I know the Japanese table. You can't break Japanese table. What's the opposite of the Japanese table? Is that Spanish announced table?
Yeah, Spanish announced table. And what they do now with the table, if you notice it at WWE, it's not even a table. It's like four panels of wood
held together with wing and a prayer.
What they do though, there's pins in it. What they do is that they take the pins out.
Right.
That's why if you see a guy fall on the table, it just kind of collapses. Like it doesn't really break anymore.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. God, it's so stupid.
Like, how can you suspend your disbelief for that?
I mean,
like, even, like, Shane O'Mac, like, him jumping off the top of the cage, and even if you put, like, cushion, you know, you put that, you know, like, that bumper cushion underneath, like, still, you have the visual of him off this great height. You know, to me, I don't care if there's a thing under it. Like, you get that. But if you're just falling on a table and it just perfectly folds in it on itself.
Yeah, like, it doesn't even, like, it doesn't even break anymore in the middle. It just kind of just falls. Because there's, like... the front part, two sides,
mm-hmm.
and then the top. And so the table just kind of collapses down. Like, it doesn't even break anymore. It's not even an actual table anymore. But so stupid. People wonder why people watch AEW. Well, AEW has Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, and a host of other people who actually are doing good wrestling. Also, another little tidbit before we move on to AEW. Is I read this statistic where they said the average minutes of wrestling per hour on each show.
Oh, wow.
Raw has like 12 minutes of wrestling per hour. That's it.
I mean, I could buy into it, but it's just really hard to believe.
SmackDown has like 16 minutes. And Dynamite has like 33 minutes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which is good. And per hour, it's 44 minutes. If you take out commercials, it's 44 minutes of actual program.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty good. That's like 3 hours of... 3 hours... You watch a three-hour wrestling show, you get about 30 minutes of wrestling.
Oh, and that's why I just can't... I can't stick with Raw.
And every match on there ends with either an interference or a run-in or a goofy DQ thing or something. It's just so stupid. Moving on.
I'm telling you, dude, I'm AEW for life.
Speaking of AEW, you finally watched Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson right before I got here.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think about that match?
I love Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
I mean, he's such a great such a great heel.
This was my favorite Kenny Omega match.
Yeah.
And I know like all the hardcore people were like, what? You didn't see him like, versus Bushida Suzuki.
I mean, I've watched several of his Wrestle Kingdom matches, but like I like that with AEW, like he's in this encapsulated area.
There's a lot of things I liked about this match. Number one was with Omega. A lot of his goofy stuff was not present in this match.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of prancing around, finger pointing, and all the...
He did a little bit, but it was cheeky.
Very little, and it was cheeky.
It was in line with what they were doing.
And Bryan Danielson is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they treated this... The show comes on. I recorded this. It came on a Wednesday night. And I recorded, watched it on Thursday night. I didn't look at any...
Oh, jeez. Sorry.
You did it.
I did it.
That's just water. We're good.
Okay, we're good.
I put my water and beer on a little table that you gave me, and then you just fucking like sidekick it.
I was thinking Daniel Bryan. I gotta kick something.
Yes, kicked him. You're gonna get your fucking table kicked in. The show comes on, and it's a huge crowd. They're loud. The place is rocking. Mm-hmm. You hear the... And the first voice you hear is Jim Ross, the voice of wrestling. Fans, welcome to Arthur Ashe Center here. It's sold out live. And you're like, oh my God. Wrestling, thank you. Thank you, wrestling.
I love that they're talking about wrestlers.
Yeah. He says the piece, and then we'll go right into the music kicks on. And here we go. And because I miss that in wrestling, where it's like we're off and running. The energy stays up. Mm-hmm. We're good. We're jazzed up. You don't have this long 15-minute... soliloquy in the ring with a bunch of goofballs.
And you don't have Khan out there talking for 15 minutes straight to start the show.
No, you don't have. Yeah, you don't have any of this stuff that just sucks the life out of everything. And the match was amazing. I've watched it twice, and it was just everything had a purpose. They laid their shit in. Of course, like you know, Bryan's chest is all like hamburger meat from the chops, and his head was. From that Snapdragon suplex Omega gives him the top.
Top rope, yeah.
His forehead had like mat burn before he hit the mat. Yeah. I was nervous for him because I know he's obviously had the neck injury. So I was like, man, please don't hurt yourself, you know. But I think those guys are just soaring, man. They're like up here. I mean, the match was so good. Plus, no interference.
Oh, that was great, stuff. Too. And now, I was kind of surprised because when they come out at the end, it was like, it was post-match. It was like, okay, this is serious. Like, you know, if you come out and you interrupted it, well then...
They know, everybody in that locker room at AEW knows that this is money. Like, this is literally the two best wrestlers on the planet. And they have them in the same company.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, and yeah, you know, I didn't expect a time limit draw at all.
Yeah.
I mean, because that rarely happens anymore.
Rarely. And it was funny because it's one of those like, I should have seen that coming.
And they announced it at the beginning. And some people, I read that some people thought they should have kept announcing the time. And I was like, well, that would have been a little too obvious.
Yeah, it would have been.
But it got down to a few minutes left. And I was like, are they going to do a time limit draw? And I started thinking, I was like, well, either there's got to be either interference. Because they got to find a way to get out where neither guy loses clean. And I was thinking, okay, there's going to be interference. Omega's going to win, but it's going to be under cheap circumstances or whatever. So the time limit draw was great. And now, since then, they've kept it going. Bryan has wrestled one of the Young Bucks, which was a really good match.
Okay.
I don't remember which one it was. But that was a good match, too. And so it looks like he's going to probably kind of face a lot of the elite guys.
Yeah.
Omega, what's funny was that Don Callis is such a dick. But he...
I love him.
I read that Bryan Danielson, he posts this big, long, like really sentimental thing and about it was so great to be wrestling again and all this kind of stuff. And Don, like, quote tweeted it and says... that's nice. Don't forget your Birkenstocks. The train for Stamford, Connecticut leaves in 10 minutes. and of course, Omega's doing there will be no rematch. There'll be no rematch. Yeah. There'll be no rematch. I think it's good because now, and it was on free TV, so if they started this show off that they've been promoting with two of the best wrestlers on the planet, got people to watch it. Now, if you want to see that again, you can buy the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to keep building up to this pay-per-view. Yeah. And it makes sense.
I mean, that's great. This is great.
But the whole show, and I hope you get a chance to watch the whole, show.
Yeah.
Everything was concise. Everything was good. There wasn't a lot of dead air time. It was just like, after this match, CM Punk comes out and talks a little bit. And then, I don't remember what was next. Could have been MJF and Pillman Jr. I
think. Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And then there was, I can't remember, there was a lot of good stuff on there. And then the Friday show was good, too. Rampage is good, too. That's the CM Punk Powerhouse Hobbs match, which is a really, really good match. That was a hard-hitting match, too. I mean, they did good. It was a really, really good match. Really good, really put together really well.
But you said, did you say the crowd was kind of burned out at that point?
I think the crowd was probably getting burned out. I mean, it was hard. After that Brian Omega match to start things off, even on Dynamite, I mean, it was like, man, what do you do after that? You know, because everybody was literally on their feet screaming for 30 minutes straight, you know. And like I said, they tape everything in one night. So they already did it dark, AEW Dark, which is a YouTube show, mm-hmm. which is an hour.
Yeah, I've watched a little bit of that.
Then they did 2 hours of Dynamite, mm-hmm. then 2 hours of Rampage. So they recorded 5 hours of wrestling in one night. And so that's a long night, man. That's a long night for anybody. I mean, to be there, you know, if you watch the Friday show, you know, you could tell, you know, the CM Punk match was good. Mm-hmm. Some of the other matches had some lulls in it, but people kind of picked up a little bit.
How were the women's matches?
The Britt Baker Thunder Rosa match was really good.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
The other match they had was not very good. I didn't think. It was like Anna Jay and I can't remember the girl's name. Penelope Ford, I think. Anna Jay, if you're not familiar with her, she's only like 18 or 19 years old. So she's super young and she's learning still. She's improved, yeah. but she's learning. And Penelope Ford's been around for a while, but she's just, to me, that reminds me of a WWE Divas match. Yeah. More than like women's wrestling.
And that's something I've had a lot of respect for with AEW. Yeah. Is I think I watched Rampage, you know, this was like a month ago. And they had like, you know, in the hour, is it an hour long or is it 2 hours?
Which one? The Friday show?
Yeah.
The Friday show is an hour.
Yeah. So I have an hour and they had like four matches.
Yeah.
Or three matches. Like three of them were women's and they were like pretty decent matches.
It's good to see like just a good 1 hour wrestling show.
Oh, it's,
you know, it's refreshing.
Like, it is so refreshing. And it's like, okay, I have the older I got, I'm getting, I think that I struggle with my attention span. That's why I haven't got around to watching mm-hmm. all of it. Because, like, other than football, like, it's hard for me to sit for more, like, than an hour and watch something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you give me, like, a 10-minute women's match mm-hmm. where it's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I can get into that.
Yeah, I didn't really care for the Anna Jay Penelope Ford match just because it's, you know, like I said, it reminds me of an early 2000s Divas match.
Yeah, those are rough.
Where it's just like, you know, very kind of half-ass kind of, I don't know how else to put it. Because if you see these other women they have, like Thunder Rosa,
yeah,
Britt Baker, Ruby,
yeah,
Hiroku Shida, Serena Deeb is back now. She's been hurt, but she's back and she's amazing.
Is she Australian or who's this?
I don't think so.
Oh. I mean, it's just so weird. I mean, sorry. It's awesome how much women's wrestling has evolved in the last like 10 years. Because mm-hmm. I think back to like when I was getting back into like 2012, mm-hmm. 13, like you had Divas still. Yeah. So I was watching basically the death of Divas to the rise of the four horsewomen.
Yeah.
And like, it's just night and day. Because now it is night and day. Because it's not about titillation now. It's like, okay, these are serious competitors.
Well, it's because too that back in the Attitude Era and up to like 2000s, they they literally would hire women out of lingerie catalogs.
Yeah.
And fitness models and people like that who never watched wrestling, didn't know anything about wrestling. They were picked because of how they look. And then a lot of that changes when you have people like Charlotte and Becky and Sasha and mm-hmm. Bayley, and, you know, now like Rhea Ripley and Toni Storm and all these other Ember Moon, you know, like all these Asuka and people like that, who are people who grew up watching wrestling, who love wrestling and want to wrestle. They don't want to do anything else. You know, so that's a big difference. And with the guys too. I mean, a lot of these guys get picked out of gyms and they're like bodybuilders. A lot of them don't care about wrestling. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, I get paid a bunch of money to go out and throw a guy around for 10 seconds and pin him. Okay. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's part of Goldberg's problem, is that he was not a wrestler. He's never been taught. He's never trained. He was put probably in a bad position. Because he was picked out of a gym because of how he looked, not because he could wrestle, you know?
And but that was the cool, I mean, that was kind of the cool thing about him, because you have this guy who comes in, he just squashes dudes.
But that's when. It's
awesome.
But that's also, too, a lot of wrestling was attraction. Yeah. And was like, step right up, look what we got, you know?
We got Hogan versus the giant. Like, monster truck.
Oh, God. Sumo, so stupid. And, like, guys, like, I mean, Ultimate Warrior is a good example. Yeah. The guy was terrible.
Sure.
But he was a spectacle. He was an attraction. And, you know, that stuff, you know, I like that. That's one thing I like about Sting in AEW, is that he, by the way, Sting has a great match. Him and Darby have.
I'm excited for that. I think I'm full on to the Darby.
Darby's cool. Him and MJF had a little back and forth.
Oh,
okay. Kind of, last week. It was pretty funny because, MJF's doing this promo because he beat, I don't remember who he beat. But anyway, he comes out and he's talking. And he's talking about how the four pillars of AEW is him, Sammy Guevara,
mm-hmm.
Darby, and somebody else. One of those other young guys. I can't remember. Well, that's four. Him, Darby, Sammy. There's one other guy he said. Jungle Boy.
I was gonna say Jungle Boy. Yeah, really? Jungle Boy.
Because he's like, well, we have Jungle Boy beat him. Darby Allin doesn't matter. And then Darby comes out, right, to face MJF, and MJF's like, freaky deaky Darby. He's like, hey bud. He's like, I like you have the whole school shooter mime on a skateboard thing going on. But he's like, what you doing out here, bud? You know, it's so funny. And so I think they're starting a program, which is good. And cool. Also, you have like CM Punk wrestled mm-hmm. Daniel Garcia recently, this past week. He's really good.
Okay.
Young guy, very good. And so it's cool to see like what CM Punk is doing. I like that what CM Punk is doing is different from like what Daniel Bryan's doing.
Yeah.
Like they're keeping them separate for now. I think they'll probably end up teaming up at some point.
Yeah, I could see that. But it's good because you keep those guys separate, and it's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, we've got this WWE history, but if we are separated, then they kind of build their
the
own
whole
brand.
Point is to see matches that you never would have seen otherwise, which I think that's the whole point. Well, like this, like Brian Danielson and Kenny Omega, which they have wrestled each other before, but not on like a grand scale, right. And not in the States. And for Omega, I mean, a lot of people haven't seen him. This is probably one of his best matches on American television. I mean, the match with him with the match with him and Pac was really good. Was that an Iron Man match, I think?
I don't think I saw that one.
You should watch that one. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like him and Moxley. I'm not really big on John Moxley personally. He wants to do like the hardcore stuff and all this kind of stuff, which is fine. But
he feels like he's a little bit out of time.
I think so. I think he used to do that stuff in the indies years and years ago. He did like death matches and the light bulbs and the broken glass and all that kind of stuff, you know? And now times have changed. Like him and Omega had that match. It was year before last. They had the hardcore match or whatever. But you can see, like, they go into barbed wire, and you can see the barbed wire is obviously fake, right? It's not real. But guys don't probably don't need to do that stuff anymore. not on like a national scale like that. Like Jericho did that death match with Nick Gage and almost got him kicked off of TNT. That should have been a pay per view. That should have been on pay per view. Right. I think.
I agree.
They also got in trouble for because Nick Gage is one of his gimmicks. He uses a pizza cutter. Did you know that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the Domino's commercial comes on, picture in picture, as he's cutting Jericho's head open. But to AEW's credit, you know, like Tony Khan will come out and say, yeah, you know, we probably shouldn't have done that. We'll learn from that. We won't do it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we'll do it differently in the future, you know. So that stuff is good. I mean, if you like wrestling, AEW, I think, is good. I mean, there's a lot of... I think for Punk, he's doing this thing now where he's like, I'm just happy to be here, and I want to work with the young guys. I think eventually he's probably going to have a heel turn or something.
Yeah.
Something big, I think, is going to be coming up. And
him as a heel would be...
Him as a heel is going to be great. I think eventually him and MJF are going to tangle. That's going to be good.
The promos.
That's going to be good.
Did you see MJF and his parents on social?
Yeah, they're like, we hate MJF and all this kind of stuff. Also, I will tell you this. The Hangman returned recently. Good. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
They had the ladder match last week. The what do they call it? The casino ladder match or whatever. And he was the Joker. He was the surprise entrant. Okay. So he won that. So he actually gets a shot at Kenny Omega.
Oh, nice.
I don't know how they're going to work that out with him and Brian. Because they're supposed to have that match at, I guess, Full Gear, which is in November.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that's going to work. But I did see... I didn't watch the whole show, but I saw that he came back and I was happy to see that.
Well, they still got like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can make that 3 or so.
But it'd be interesting to see how he kind of fits in. And Adam Cole too, man. Adam Cole, so good.
Oh, man. I don't know if we talked about it last time, but I have not watched a lot of Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. I don't need to watch a lot of him. Like, I can watch a promo of his and I can totally buy into him as a character.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, okay, this guy. I get this.
He's just good. I mean, he has charisma. He has the in-ring ability to have matches with anybody.
Him, like, MJF, like,
yeah.
I buy into this. Yeah. Like, there's no blurring of lines. Like, or there is a blurring of lines. Like, okay, this is this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I can totally get sucked in. You know, like Darby. Like, okay, this guy has a death wish. Like, I buy into this. Where if I go, and I would say with like Roman, like, okay, he's pretty badass. Like, I can buy into that.
Now, yeah.
But it's taken how many years
right.
to do that? I can watch one Adam Cole promo and be like, okay, this guy, I need to watch this.
Speaking
guy.
Of that, so Seth Rollins did Stone Cold's podcast recently.
Oh, yeah.
The Broken Skull Sessions, right?
Okay.
So I watched it. And Rollins is so. I like him a lot better when he's just himself.
Mm.
But on TV, they have him as this like hyped up, whiny, like dastardly guy.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But he himself, and it's really good. You should, he talks about how, you know, because he came off the indies. He was in Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he got to WWE and they basically said, forget all that stupid indie shit. It sucks and you're going to do it our way. And he said he resisted it for a while. Then he finally just caved in and started doing it, whatever they asked him to do. And he talks about the Hell in a Cell with The Fiend.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he absolutely hated it. It made him sick to his stomach and he wanted to choke Vince McMahon out because it was so stupid. And just a lot of stuff. He was like brutally honest, which is interesting. But it just goes to show you that if you watch WWE and you see something stupid, it's probably because they were told to do it.
And that's why it's why it's so hard for me to give WWE like another chance, because it's just like, you guys have this vision, but it's not what I as a fan want to watch. And well, I don't expect you guys to spoon feed me.
Yeah.
But you also need to like, let these guys be themselves.
And it's just because, you know, the company changed. They became a traded company. So they moved, they got out of the wrestling business. And you could listen to podcasts and stuff where they said, you know, like the word around WWE was like, we're not a wrestling company. Like, you can't even use the word. You're not even allowed to say the word wrestling, you know. they want to be an entertainment company, a media company, stuff like that. And it's just crazy because Seth Rollins was, you know, has always been really, he's got some really good Ring of Honor matches. Him and Davey Richards is a good match.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Him and Austin Aries is a very good match. Yeah. And when he was going to come out of Ring of Honor, he talked about it, that he had an offer for Impact. And Jim Cornette called him and begged him not to go to Impact. He's like, do not go to TNA, which was Impact by then. He said, go to WWE if you get the chance, but do not go to Impact because you're going to be ruined.
He would have been. And that would be super interesting, though.
It would have been interesting, but it would have came in like around that time when Hogan was there and all that.
Oh, really? Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Because
that would have been rough.
You want to feel old? The Shield's been around like 10 years now. It was like 10 years ago when that happened. But and CM Punk, it was a big fan of his, too, because he wanted... originally, Shield was going to be CM Punk's like bodyguard. Yes. And he wanted, and CM Punk wanted Tyler Black, who was Seth Rollins' indie name, Ring of Honor name was Tyler Black, Roman, and
it was going to be
Chris Hero. It was going to be Chris Hero,
yes,
Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose,
yes,
not Roman. And then they didn't want Chris Hero, and they did Roman instead.
Which, I think it's fine. And I like Chris Hero okay, but I mean, he's not Roman Reigns.
No, well, you know, Chris Hero is a guy who's been around for a long time. A lot of guys like Punk really respect him and like him and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's so weird, though, because he's like such a good wrestler, but then he gains and loses like 100 pounds at will.
I think I'd read something or listened to a podcast, and I think he has a thyroid issue.
I think so, too, yeah, because he's been in NXT a couple times. Mm-hmm. But everybody, a lot of people really love him and respect him. But it's just, that's just an example of Seth Rollins, a guy who has all the wrestling ability, athletic ability, the charisma, the personality, but he's not allowed to show it. Yeah. He has to be like this.
Which I'm kind of into that because I was like, I was really into the Authority, like Cena versus Authority storyline.
Yeah.
And Rollins was basically representing the Authority. And I was like, I was into that, and I like him as a character, but it was also like, you know, I haven't listened to that, but I just from what I've seen outside of WWE, like, he's a cool guy. Like, he has a great character, personality.
His personality's good. He's got he's a little arrogant, but that's okay, because it works, you know?
I believe that.
And yeah, right. But that's the big thing, is about believability, and, you know, does the crowd buy what this guy is doing? And that's why Roman Reigns got booed for years, is because people didn't believe it. They're like, this is not this guy. And now, since he was able to do the Tribal Chief stuff, I mean, he really carried that show through the pandemic. I mean, doing what he's been doing.
No, I didn't read into this, but I'd seen a headline that he's now on par or has surpassed Cena in sales.
Yeah, I think so.
As a heel.
Yeah. But With him and Heyman together, it's been really good. And the story they did, like with the Usos, and this is really where the no crowd thing worked.
Oh, yeah.
Because he would have these matches with the Usos because they were trying to beat him. And you could hear him, like, he'd have him down like in a choke, and he's like, just tap, acknowledge me. Acknowledge your chief. I'm the bloodline. He's like, I'm this family. You know,
that's awesome.
And you could hear him talking and stuff. And it really was cool. It added another dimension, because before, you never saw anything out of him except just walk out and, you know, do the goofy Superman punch, and he's wearing like
Sucker and Thuckatash.
Sucker and Thuckatash. He's wearing the catcher's chest protector, like D'Lo Brown. Like
D'Lo. Got a little head wobble going on.
So I don't know. It'll be good. I hope. I don't know what's going to happen with this Roman Lesnar thing.
I'm going to pitch a curveball at you.
Do it.
Okay, Attitude Era.
Yeah.
To Modern Era.
Yeah.
Who are you bringing in?
Oh, boy. One guy I wish could still go was Kurt Angle.
Oh my gosh, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, because totally. Because he could have lots of really, especially with some of these guys in AEW, he could have some fucking barn burner matches. Yep.
And he could do the comedy, he could be a killer. Like, yeah. Just oh, yeah. Awesome all around.
Let's see. I wish... I always loved, obviously, Bret Hart. I loved Owen Hart. I just think Owen was so good at getting heat. Like, he was so natural at getting heat. And he was very, very good in the ring. So I think about those guys now. Like, I think about some of those guys, if they were able to be in these matches. And Kurt Angle was talking about it. He has his own podcast. He was talking about how he would, if he could, he... It's kind of heartbreaking because he talks about how he's in so much pain every day. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'd give anything to have a match with Omega or you know, one of those guys, like, you know, so that would be, you know, that would be great because he's just so good. I mean, they did sign. Well, what about you, I guess?
Kurt Angle? I was going to say Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle. I like, as far as the women. I will tell you this. I think Trish Stratus could have been a lot better than she was. Yeah. Had she, because she kind of obviously started off in the fitness lingerie thing, but her and Lita had a couple that match. Her and Lita on Raw, that was a very good match. I always liked Beth Phoenix. I thought she was good. Yeah. She really stood out, I think, when it came to wrestling. Mm-hmm.
She definitely was that like next step between being a diva, but also being like a muscle chick, which I think is cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, you know, yeah, Kurt Angle definitely is somebody who, you know, I think could fit probably in almost any era.
Yeah.
You know, I feel the way about Hangman Page too. I think he could fit in the era.
Yeah, totally. Because can you imagine like him and Stone Cold?
I know.
Being teamed up back in the day?
He's got that almost like a Magnum TA quality.
Yes. Awesome.
And Magnum TA, if you don't know who Magnum TA is, he was a prodigy wrestler back in the 80s in the NWA. He looked good. He could wrestle. He could talk.
Had the chick.
He was everything. Mm-hmm. And sadly, he had a car wreck and injured himself pretty bad and couldn't wrestle anymore. But that was... I remember watching that. Some of my earliest wrestling memories is like Magnum TA.
Really?
The Horseman, Dusty. Oh. One crazy match that people should see is the I Quit match between Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard.
Wow.
At Starrcade. That's a fucking crazy match because for some reason the people think that they didn't do like hardcore wrestling back then.
this is
literally two guys who try to murder each other with like a railroad spike.
Yeah, for sure.
It is nuts. This match is nuts and you should go watch it if you haven't seen it because it is fantastic. But a lot of Magnum TA stuff was really good. I mean, he was like he could do anything in the ring. He looked good. And Hangman Page reminds me of him a little bit. They have kind of a similar look. I think Magnum TA was probably bigger.
Yeah. He's probably closer to Hogan.
I think he was a little bigger. But as far as, you know, kind of the in-ring ability, you know, a lot of similarities. I hope with Hangman, I hope they keep him far away from Dark Order. I hate the Dark Order. I just want to go on record and say it's stupid, and I don't want to see it again.
I think it's fine as a, like, bottom tier, like, the bottom feeders. Like, we just get these guys, and they gang up and they beat up, and that's it. It shouldn't be anywhere near the top.
No, it shouldn't. And you shouldn't have, like, your top star, like, one of your top stars, you know, hook with these guys as a bunch of nobodies, really. I mean, the internet people like them, and... You know, like last week or so ago, they were in Brody Lee's hometown, who was Luke Harper in WWE. He passed away. Yeah. So they did the whole thing where, you know, they had like a big 20-man tag, and then Brody Lee's kid comes out and throws papers at him because they did it on YouTube one time, and they all... It's just so... Look, it's nice to remember the guy, but it's so fucking stupid to have like this whole show just dedicated to that again. I don't know. That may be a little insensitive, but I just think it's a little overboard. I think it's a little silly. Especially,
it's not your thing.
Especially at this point when you're trying to accomplish, like, you have, like, real wrestling stars now. Yeah. You don't have to have the Dark Order out there for 20 minutes anymore. You don't have to have Joey Janela and Marco Stunt and Orange Cassidy and all these other goofy indie clowns. You don't.
Hey now.
Hey, Adam Cole, you got to cut it short so Orange Cassidy can go stand in the bathroom for 20 minutes and act like he's napping. I hate Orange Cassidy.
Boo.
It's just stupid. It's so stupid. Tony Khan himself said he liked it because it was a novelty act. But you've already seen it. You see him do it once, yeah, and that's it. And so, I don't know.
It's stupid. I mean, I really like Orange, but even to me, Orange is a, like at the Battle Royale 2 years ago,
yeah,
the Casino Battle Royale, like him, yeah, showing up, okay, that's, you don't go beyond that. It's, yeah, a fun appearance, then let him go back and wrestle at a bar in front of, you know, 50, exactly, people. I mean,
people are like, you see this guy, he keeps his hands in his pockets all the time.
Because what you either do is, like, you evolve him, you make, mm-hmm, him, like, you know, it's a Pokemon. You send him up to the next, you make him Charizard.
You'd be like Kane, make him lose the mask and start talking.
Right. You do something. But if you just leave him there and he's got his hands in pockets.
I noticed this too, is that he came out on the Grand Slam Friday show. And he comes walking out and people were just like, not much happening.
Oh, he didn't get a reaction?
Not really. Ooh. Not that I could hear on the TV. Now, granted, they've been there for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
I just think it's, you know, it's whatever. And people are like, well, his videos are some of the top ones. Yeah, when he first debuted, people were like, well, let me go see what this guy's all about. You know? It's a spectacle.
It's a spectacle. You know? Yeah. And again, I'm a fan.
It's like going on the road and seeing two dogs fucking on the side of the road. It's like, oh shit, look at that. And then you see it again.
What kind of dogs,
like,
are they?
Yeah. Who knows?
My wife wants to get another dog.
So they can fuck on the side of the road?
No.
Speaking of the side of the road, I saw the pole out there I smashed into last time.
Rest in peace. Did you see the stones he added out there?
No.
Yeah, so he's had his fence taken out like twice.
I didn't hit the fence though.
Oh, I know. I hit that pole. No, it's all good.
You know how I hit that pole? You know why I did that?
Why?
I was backing out of your driveway, mm-hmm, and I was so focused on looking for like a cat.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't want to run over a cat.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And I backed up too far before cutting the wheel.
Okay.
And it went like boof, and I was like, oh man, I guess I backed into something, and I wasn't gonna get out. Sorry.
No.
That's why I texted you. I was like, man, I hope this is not your mailbox.
No,
you
know? It was fine. I mean, well, see, that's the thing. Our mailbox was taken out because Yahoo down, like, the next house to the east of us,
yeah,
he came around the corner too fast, took out his barbed wire fence, took out my mailbox, and then, like, put a big divot in his. So he got a new barbed wire fence. He put up these, like, I don't know how big, it's like a 3 foot by 3 foot, mm-hmm, square stone. He has, like, 5 of them in a row. So the next time someone speed around the corner, they're going to smash into a block. But we, you know, I'm not worried about you doing it.
And then, so the next morning, I go out and I look and my whole fucking taillight's destroyed. And I was like, what the hell, man? I didn't even, like, obviously I wasn't going very fast at all.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was that.
Yeah, that was funny because I saw him like 2 days later and he's like, yeah, somebody ran into my pole, have you seen anything? And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I thought Robbie said something. But then I didn't say anything to him. I was like, well, hold on to it, maybe.
To be fair, the pole was like 6 inches off the road.
And it's literally right behind where you
park. It's right behind there. Yeah. So I was trying to make sure I had to run over a cat.
I'm sorry you had to replace your.
That'd be $63, please.
Okay.
Or a cat.
I'll gladly give you a cat.
Yeah.
My cats are there. Did I tell you about how I ran over one of our cats?
No, but see, I didn't want to do that.
Well, we had two kittens, got them from my sister-in-law, one for each of our kids, and we had them for a week.
Yeah.
So
and you're like, well, I don't like this one, so.
I'm an animal lover, so. But anyway, so we had both kittens in the garage. We haven't had cats for years. So I don't, you know, I put them in the garage because, yeah, you know, that's what kids.
That's where they go.
So I backed up and I backed over one of them. And what happened was I crushed its pelvis. But, and it survived for like 2 weeks or something. We had to have it put down. But my daughter, up until like three years later, mm-hmm, she's like, "Do you remember that time you ran over Po?" And I'm like,
"You're like, what?"
Yeah, it was an accident. She's like, "I love that cat. He was so fluffy." I'm like,
he was fluffy.
Was past tense.
See, I didn't. Yeah, no. So I was focused on that because I'm like, man, I don't want to run over a cat, and you know, took out the taillight in the process. But what are you going to be watching coming up for our next time? Are you actually going to watch some wrestling? I'm a big fan. You know what I did earlier? Because you were like, "I haven't finished it." And I was like, "Oh, well, you've seen the first match." You're like, "No." Then I was like, "Oh, okay. It's fine. It's not a big deal."
I will finish Grand Slam. So my homework within next week is to watch, to finish. I'll finish Grand Slam.
Yes.
And then I'll watch. I'll probably... I have the other episodes recorded, so
cut them. We don't have to talk about every match, like the high spots, like the good stuff.
Okay,
we can discuss.
So my plan, okay, so I guess by next time I record, I plan to finish Grand Slam. I'm gonna probably take a day off work next week or so, and I'm gonna finish Squid Game, and I've got a couple other shows I'm watching, so I'll get caught up on those.
I got lucky because my wife was out of town for like 3 nights. For the weekend.
Did you saw Varibel though?
Yeah, she was there.
Yeah.
So she went to bed. I'm like, I'm gonna watch wrestling.
Nice.
And drink some beer. And this I did. Good. That's right. I'm like, well, we had what did we do? It was cool. We went to the park. We did some painting out on the patio. She, mm-hmm, she does that.
Nice.
We took the pool down. You don't want to leave it up because it might freeze and.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what I learned. Learned the hard way.
We got that squared away, so it was fun, but yeah.
So what are you going to watch but next time?
I will watch, I'm going to stay current on the AEW product.
Okay.
And I will also collect more WWE tidbits to present to you.
Midnight Mass?
See, but yeah, Midnight Mass, definitely.
Okay, I'll try to watch that too.
Let's see what we can do.
Man, I love. I think last year I made it a point to watch some quote scary stuff,
and yeah,
it was good. Both of those were really good.
We can incorporate some spookies because it will be Halloween's coming up.
Hopefully, spooky season.
Hopefully, the next time we recorded, we still be before Halloween.
Oh yeah, because it's what is it, the 11th?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So
we're Halloween.
Yeah. We can do that. All right. Until next time. This has been Fat, Drunk, and Stupid. Say goodbye, Brad.
See ya.